This is Testimonial Tuesday with Dr. Drew Hall, episode number 10 for April 27th, 2010. And in this episode, Dr. Hall tells a story, two stories actually, one about a man who had a severe short leg before his atlas was corrected, and the other about a man who suffered from cauda equina syndrome. Testimonial Tuesday is next.
UpperCervicalDocs.com.
To hear more testimonials about how upper cervical chiropractic has helped patients, please go to UpperCervicalDocs.com, where you can also hear interviews with prominent people in upper cervical, including Dr. Hall. Again, the website is UpperCervicalDocs.com. It's time for Testimonial Tuesday with Dr. Drew Hall. I'm Dr. Paul Hambrick, and I'm here with Dr. Hall, who I finally met face-to-face at the Upper Cervical Evolution just a week or so ago. Hello, Dr. Hall.
Hello, Dr. Hambrick.
We were around a lot of spizzarinctum. It almost made me want to completely turn my life upside down and do something different than what I'm doing. It was that exciting.
Evolutions are always exciting, and as I said in my talk up there, I usually float on clouds for at least a week or two afterwards, and we always see a heck of a lot of new patients already, but it usually at least another 50% of them just because the energy is so high.
Yeah.
So I'd agree, yes, bizarrinctum's a good thing.
Your talk was very good. You were very gracious to Dr. Kuhn.
Well, it's been a long time coming for him as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I think we don't honor our elders enough, and they've kind of paved the path for all of us for where we're at here today. As I said in my talk, a lot of those first-generation guys at one time, they were one of 40 and 50 or 60 doctors that were doing this work nation or worldwide, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So we owe it to them.
Well, last time we met, you said you would give us a short synopsis of your patient orientation talk, kind of what you do at your spinal screenings. Are you ready to do that?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's have it.
I guess this isn't really for you doctors out there. This is more for the lovely public who's watching these testimonies. You may be asking yourself, as each week goes by, how upper cervical care can deliver the results that we're talking about in these Testimonial Tuesdays. And just simply, the way I get this through to prospective patients and new patients in the office is that your nervous system, which is composed of your brain and your brain stem and your spinal cord, is the seat of control through the entire system. And this upper neck area, right at the base of the skull, is why we call ourselves upper cervical specific, is because upper cervical means the atlas and axis level, the top two vertebra. That's the weakest junction in the spine. And you basically have a bowling ball that's 10 to 14 pounds. That's the head resting on a 2-ounce bone that's held together largely by a muscle and ligament. So anytime throughout life you've been in a trauma, whether that be a car accident or a surf injury, I personally was dropped on my head. For those of you who have been watching these week by week, you know that story. But essentially what happens is you have some sort of trauma that dislodges and the atlas vertebra becomes locked under the skull. And the reason that that's so important, as I stated earlier, the nervous system is what controls everything in your body. And if the message from the brain through the spinal cord to the tissue doesn't get through the way that it's supposed to, then wherever it's being interfered with is obviously not going to function quite the way that it's supposed to. And I tell all of my patients that I don't care where the tissue is in your body, whether it's your big toe, your heart, your elbow, or your pancreas, every single cell in your entire body is directly under control of the brain. So again, reiterating, if that atlas is dislodged and become locked, it's going to interfere with the flow of neurological impulse from the brain to the body. It doesn't stop the impulse, but it changes the frequency of its firing, and that causes the body to malfunction. So it doesn't matter whether you have cancer or lupus or heart disease or low energy or no symptoms at all. if we can run a series of tests to determine, number one, do you have a problem? Is there interference there? And we can find out how the vertebra's traveled out of position through specific x-rays. If we can reposition the vertebra that's locked and creating that irritation, then normal function should follow. And that's not a one-day process. It's a process over time. Every day the vertebra that was locked out of position and is interfering with the flow of information from the brain to the body, every day that's back where it belongs, then normal function is going to return and the body is going to do its best job to heal and repair whatever is going on in there. And I make it clear to everyone that steps foot in my office that this isn't a cure-all and I'm not God, but you name a disease or a condition, and we've seen it respond in our office through that very simple principle. So there you have it. 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, upper cervical 101.
Very nice. Well, too bad we can't do
hopefully
that every
made
episode.
Sense.
Made sense to me. Of course, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
So have you got a story for us today?
I do have a story, and it's very fresh on my mind because it happened Wednesday, and we're sitting here on Tuesday, 6 days later, right? Wednesday evening, towards the end of the day, I had a gal come in, and she literally drug her boyfriend in. He's about 6'3", 225, and he's the motocross guy and a lawyer, but his passion outside of being a lawyer is motocross. And to make a long story short, he went off of a berm, went about 10 feet up in the air, and landed upside down on his head. And he's one of those tough guys, so he told them there was nothing wrong, even though he was numb on all four extremities. Got on his bike, rode it back, they drove home, and on the way home, he said to his friend, he said, I think we have a problem. And his friend says, what? And he says, well, I'm not able to read the freeway signs. And again, this guy's a tough guy, so he still doesn't go to the hospital, goes to sleep at night, wakes up in the morning, and he's still having visual problems and blinding headaches, so he goes into the hospital, and they take a x-ray of his neck, and he's got a fractured C5 and 6. And so they did a fusion surgery. It was really severe, like to the point where he's lucky he wasn't paralyzed. So they did a fusion surgery from C4 to 7. And this isn't the story, but this is the lead up to the story. We did a leg check on him, and he was literally about 2.25 inches short, which is, I think, one of the top 2 or 3 largest leg length discrepancies I've ever seen.
Wow.
And
now,
the ironic part...
Wait, before you go on, how long after the accident was it that you saw him?
This is a year after the accident. So okay. God only knows what it looked like right after. I think sometimes as time goes by, the body adapts, and perhaps maybe the leg length discrepancy becomes less. I don't know that. I'm surmising. But bottom line is he wasn't off a little. He was completely jacked, for lack of a more technical term.
Right.
But the neat thing about this, or the interesting thing about this, is we took the films and he had maybe 1.5 millimeter PIR. Interesting how small misalignment can cause such big adaptation through the system. So we made a correction on him, and whenever I see him 1.5 inches, I usually don't see them drop all the way down to even, but he completely balanced. I mean, not even a 32nd of an inch off. And I will see him tomorrow, so I'm excited to hear what's happened afterwards, because guaranteed something's going to happen good.
So
have you ever seen someone that far off, Dr. Hambrick,
no.
when you were in practice?
No, never. Two.
That's crazy.
Two and a quarter.
Now, I didn't measure it with my ruler, but it's, you know, I checked a few thousand leg checks, and yeah, he was at least 2 inches. The only other case that I've had like that was a kid that had spinal meningitis as a kid. He came in about 20, and he was probably pushing 1.75 inches. But yeah, we're used to seeing 3/8.
Yeah. Was the guy I mean, what was he feeling immediately after the adjustment?
I actually spoke to him after he got up in the rest area, and he said he felt all sorts of pulling and heat in his low back. Now, he didn't come in with a low back, but obviously if your pelvis is torqued around 2 inches, you're going to feel some changes when it lets loose in there.
I would think that he felt like he was walking on the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
that's cool.
Hey, next Tuesday, we'll maybe have to recontinue his story because I'll see him tomorrow.
Okay.
But here's the exciting part. His girlfriend, while he was in x-ray, in my other office, someone's taken the x-ray, so I was talking to his girlfriend, and she says, Dr. Hall, do you remember Alfredo? And I said, she said, well, it was about 3.5 years ago. And I said, yeah, I think I do, faintly. And this guy came in, he had cauda equina, which basically means they have such a big disc issue on the low back that they've lost bowel and bladder function. Mm-hmm. And he was scheduled for neurosurgery a week from the day that I saw him, so it was kind of like a last-ditch effort to see if he could avoid surgery. And we corrected him. I never saw him again, and this is the next information I had on the case, which was a couple days ago from this gal. And she said he woke up the next morning and all of his bladder and bowel function returned, and he hasn't had a problem since.
Wow.
And I joked to her after. I said, wow, that's awesome. I said, well, maybe you ought to tell him to come in and just have a yearly checkup. But we can't win doing upper cervical. Either get better too quickly and you don't see him again, or it's too slow and they're mad after 6 weeks that everything's not gone. Right?
Yep. Yeah. Did you practice upper cervical in school?
Well, I was at Cleveland Chiropractic College. They didn't teach upper cervical there, and I probably shouldn't say this on a recorded line, but at that time, the clinicians there didn't exactly scrutinize what you were doing.
Yeah.
So Thompson was a technique that we learned, and we also learned full spine Merrick, which toggle recoil, mm-hmm. and we also took a... what was it called? It was a class where it taught you to combine everything that you learned. I can't remember, remember what the name of it was. So my out, if I ever got in trouble, was that I was using full spine Merrick and using a Thompson drop. That was in combination with the side posture alternative Gonstead adjustment on the Atlas. That's what kept me safe. But yeah, I only adjusted the Atlas when I was in clinic. That was it.
Me too. And I
probably.
Say again?
I said you were doing it legally, though.
Well, you know, it was a little easier to fake it at life than what you had to go through. But I probably had more patients total than the average student. But I had the hardest time getting my adjustments because everybody helped. And
right.
Like you said, you know, they either get better too quickly and we never see them again, or it takes longer than we want it to and they get frustrated.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, if the school has understood chiropractic, they would mm-hmm. give you twice the credit for not adjusting them and half the credit for adjusting them, right?
I tried to make that argument. Yeah, I said, why is it that we're being graded on our ability to move a bone and not our ability to move a bone to the degree that it doesn't need to be moved again?
Exactly.
It didn't go over well.
I can imagine. Well, now, where'd you go to school?
Life.
East.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Sid was there at that time, right?
Yeah, I was right in the middle of all that.
Okay.
Yeah, I got done right before the deadline where they were going to... They never actually did anything to the accreditation, but the threatened deadline, I made it right out before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet that made you feel good. You didn't have to deal with that, or at least in the back of your head anyway.
Yeah. Well, that was an excellent story. I can't wait till next week. Can't wait till next time when we meet to find out what happened to the guy with 2+ inch leg length difference. That's amazing.
Well, that's the fun part about correcting people upper cervical. You have no idea what's going to happen in the next visit.
Yeah. Well, we will see you next week, Dr. Hall. Well, that's it for another episode of Testimonial Tuesday with Dr. Drew Hall. I'm Dr. Paul Hambrick. Thank you for joining us. Please join us next week for another great story from Dr. Hall about how upper cervical has benefited people. Please do us a favor and go to iTunes, subscribe to this show, and write a review. It really helps the show to get noticed, and it will help upper cervical chiropractic to get noticed as well.